Welcome to the Pet Loss Companion. I'm Ken Dolan Del Vecchio. I'm here with my friend and co-author, Nancy Saxton Lopez. And this is a program that we do live every Thursday from 6 p.m. to about 6:30 Eastern Time. And we do this live on Facebook and YouTube. And then it's available on a number of podcast outlets. So thank you for joining us if you're live or if you're on one of the podcast replays. And it is a program that is drawn essentially from the work that we did that we compiled into our book, The Pet Loss Companion, Healing Advice from Family Therapists Who Lead Pet Loss Groups. And Nancy and I have been leading pet loss groups for
decades,
forever. And this medium allows us to have a dialogue with you in a sense. And the way that we do that is, a lot of the programs, a lot of the episodes are devoted to reading letters that we receive from audience members who tell us about the life of their beloved animal companion and the loss and how they're doing at this point. And we've learned that sharing those stories is really helpful to others. And so we encourage you to send us your story if you'd like to share it. And you can reach me at kenddv@gmail.com. You can reach Nancy at nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. That's nsaxtonlopez@csmpc.com. All of the information I'm sharing as we get started appears in the description that accompanies the program as well. If you send us your story and you don't want us to share it, we'll write back to you.
Of course. In any
case. We'll give you our thoughts in response. But if you do allow us to share it, please let us know that, because we need to be aware of that. You can also tell us that you'd like us to share certain pieces, but not others. We only share first names. Mm-hmm. And also, we have recently begun to post our correspondence when we're given permission to share on our Substack, which is essentially a newsletter that's available. The link is in the description as well. And there's a subscription fee for this of $5 a month if you choose to join. It's just a way of supporting the work that we're doing, and you get to see the correspondence that we have with people who share with us, and also you get to see the incredible pictures that they send to us. We get lots of beautiful pictures of people's animal companions. You can support our work in other ways through a Venmo donation or through PayPal or a monthly subscription through podcast. All of the above are in the program description. We also like you to know that this program is a friend of Dakin Humane Society, which is a multi-service shelter adoption program and community training program or resource. And it's located in Springfield, Massachusetts. And one of the resources that they offer is a monthly cost-free Zoom pet loss support group that I facilitate. It happens on the second Tuesday of the month. And it runs from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And there's an RSVP link in the program description. And I do encourage you, if you think it would be helpful for you to join, to RSVP to register soon. Again, it's free to you. People register from all over the country and all over the world. There's all kinds of different perspectives that you get. But a lot of people sign up, so we have to cap it. And therefore, if you'd like to be part of it, please do register early. The next one is March 12th, by the way. Also, please, if this program is helpful for you, please subscribe on YouTube. This helps to raise the visibility of the program when other people are looking for pet loss support. And also, if you write a comment or you give a thumbs up on YouTube or Facebook, that also helps to raise the visibility within the algorithm that helps people search. And then finally, we'd like to let you know that the program is an affiliate of a business called Bereave. And Bereave makes these really beautifully crafted memorial plaques. Comes with a stand that you can put either outside, or you can put it on a place of memorial where maybe you keep mementos inside. And if you purchase a plaque from Bereave, they give a percentage of what you purchase through the link that we have to us as support for the program. And Nancy's going to show you that it's a very nice plaque. It's very solid. We made sure that this was something that we thought was substantial before we made the partnership.
Really well done.
So yeah, you'd have an you'd have an inscription or whatever words you want, and also a picture of your beloved lost animal friend. So, Nancy, you want to get us started for today?
I want to echo something that you talked in the introduction about, and it's about writing and grief work. And there's something very cathartic, and we've heard this from so many people, about writing the story. The story of your beautiful animal, and this can be done with people too, by the way, but writing of the story of your animal and how you came upon your animal and the life that you had with them. And then as they got older or whatever happened in death, what was going on, what the feelings were, how it was handled, the questions you have. And there's something very important about getting that out on paper. And if then you would allow us to really say it online, talk it, you know, share it online on our podcast, because it's another validation of this wonderful life.
Yeah. And if you're not comfortable doing that, sharing it with others who love and respect you, understood the bond that you had, but it really does. And I put out a little video last week about the value in this. It really does serve as a way to get all those feelings out, to sort of get them organized and talk. You might rewrite it a few times, because a lot of what we're going through and we're grieving can make our thinking kind of jumbled. But the activity of doing that gets it out of yourself.
Right. It moves those feelings. Also, writing to them.
Writing a letter to them.
Writing a letter to your beautiful companion that's died is really helpful. So just to kind of, talk about that again. We have a wonderful story tonight, of course, they're all heartwarming and heartbreaking. But this one was interesting because it had multiple deaths, and it was very sudden death and a very anticipatory death. So this is Lisa's story, and I'm going to start, and then Ken, I'll let you know when you can. It's a little bit long. My name is Lisa, and I am part of the Pet Loss Companion listeners. I want to start out and let you know I'm very appreciative for your podcast. My story is titled Two Little Kittens. I'm the proud cat mama to two little kittens, Mario and Luigi. I'm not sure when Mario and Luigi were born into this physical world, but they came into my life December 17th, 2009. April 21st, 2009, my house burned down. I was at home in the morning getting ready to head out for a regular work day. I played downstairs with my cat Missy and my then husband's daughter's cat Tipsy. Tipsy and Missy were part of a blended family. Missy, about 8 years old, and Tipsy, perhaps around 7 years of age. I never really knew her age. I gave the cats a pat on the head and headed out. Little did I know that within 2 hours, my house would burn, and these two innocent lives lost due to smoke from the fire. It was awful. Somehow, I managed to get through this grief and move forward with my life. My college-aged daughter was not at home that day. My former husband's children didn't live with us as they were in college age too. It was just our home that we spent a year plus remodeling. As the months moved on, life began to get a little easier, and we purchased a replacement home. My daughter, home from college, asked me if I was going to get another cat. I recall telling her that I didn't want another pet. It was too hard to say goodbye. The same day I had this conversation with my daughter, a friend of mine had called to say that she had been at a local vet with her dog and noticed two cats up for adoption. She said they were so cute and was insistent that I go look at the cats. I told my daughter if she wanted to come with me that evening, we'd stop by that Walker Animal Clinic. I could see myself walking through the door of the vet clinic, up the ramp and to the right by the large picture window, was this large metal cage, and inside, two little kittens. One was white with black markings, looked like Snoopy the dog, and the other kitten, the most beautiful cream color with hues of sand-colored tan and the most beautiful blue eyes. I told my daughter they are kittens and they are boys. I never have had male pets and never two kittens at the same time. But after the vet techs took us back to a room where we could meet the kittens, I was hooked. So after adoption fee, neutering, and front claw declawing, I brought home two little kittens on December 17th, 2009. This was the best day of my life. I remember that I began to heal from the past traumas with these kittens. Oh, we have the typical kitten issues, upper respiratory cough for Mario, the passing of the pink eye between the two cats that lasted almost a full year. But other than this, two healthy cats, growing fast and bringing constant companionship during another soon-to-be traumatic time of life. April 2013, I found myself in the hospital while traveling as I contracted a staph infection. I got home and it was a long recovery. My cats were there with me and my marriage was in turmoil. I moved out of the marital house and into a new place with my cats. They adopted well and we were beginning to heal. I made a mistake of returning to the marital home, but ultimately left for good, January 2018. I moved with my cats into a small cottage, filed for divorce, and began to get work on getting better. There was never a day that I didn't remind myself that I can get to get better for Mario and Luigi. They depended upon me. In August 2019, I made the commitment to move from my state of residence and over to the Eastern Seaboard. I had met a wonderful man who accepted me and my cats. In fact, I could not have asked for a more kinder, gentler soul of a person to have loved and accepted my cats. The funny thing is that this man, Christopher, has OCD, and well, I have cats. Now, older cats entering in their 10th year of life. It was January 2020 when I finally moved. COVID lockdown brought us closer together as I was home all day with the cats. We enjoyed life. They adapted well. Each night, Chris and I had a treat time with Mario and Luigi. Luigi loved to sit by Chris as he would stroke him on the head for hours. It was really therapy for Chris, who otherwise had a huge amount of anxiety due to the OCD. But somehow, the cats could do no wrong. Life was awesome. It was spring 2023 and time for the cats to get their annual checkup. The vet suggested a full blood panel as the cats were now 13. I said I'd manage this later. I just wanted to get home as the cats did not like being at the vet. Luigi would get nervous and have accidents. Mario, on the other hand, was the big brother who would go with the flow. Such a sweet boy. I made arrangements to have Mario get a dental cleaning due to his periodontal issues. All older cats experience issues. However, what I didn't know was that on August 15, 2023, the vet would call me and tell me Mario's blood work came back. All good, except my heart sank. The tests showed CKD. I don't know what that, do you know what that is, Kat? CKD?
Chronic kidney disease.
Thank you. I knew something was wrong. Mario had not been grooming himself as he always did. And if he didn't groom, Luigi would groom for him. These cats were thick as thieves, a joint at the hip. Wherever Mario would go, Luigi would follow. Do you want to continue to count?
Sure. So we tried new food for Mario. He wouldn't eat it. I began to get concerned as I could tell he wasn't feeling well. I was home working and noticed one day he was at the water bowl multiple times and then into the litter box. I called the vet. They said to bring him in as planned on Tuesday for his dental surgery. I said, I don't think he needs dental surgery because there's something wrong. So they got me in and said, somehow the cat is now diabetic. You need to switch food. And here is the insulin. So in a matter of months, I knew the grief would start. I slowly watched my beautiful Mario decline. I found a new vet, got him off the insulated, and regulated his diet with high protein, low carb. This went on for about 6 weeks. I saw a little more of my old Mario, but then, December 1st, 2023, I noticed a lump on his right side. It had been there for a while, but this time it had doubled in size. I consulted my vet. The vets gave fluids. I knew that I would have to let Mario go. So I shared the news with my sweet boyfriend. We were devastated. I had a trip to go on for work awful, but Chris stayed home for 3 days to be with Mario and Luigi. Chris saw how fast Mario was declining, but Luigi, he was just being himself, happy to be with his brother. We had made arrangements with my vet to say goodbye December 16th. My sweet boy, the one who always was independent, was tired. I picked him up, placed him on his favorite blanket. We took him in for the goodbye. I couldn't stay, but Chris did. That night, Chris and I sat in our house, minus Mario, with Luigi. I had hoped Luigi would be okay, but fast forward, end of January 2024, Luigi was not doing well. He started not eating, he slept all day long, and began to have digestive issues. My sweet blue-eyed boy was missing his brother. So after consulting with my vet and learning of advancing digestive issues that could not be reversed, I decided that Luigi wanted to be with his brother. No matter how hard Chris and I tried to console Luigi, he just stopped wanting to live. February 8th, 2024, we had Lap of Love help my sweet boy across the Rainbow Bridge. I was able to say goodbye in his home with the two people who loved him the most. We placed him in the vet's blanket. I tucked his sweet body into the basket with a blanket. It's been 2 months and 10 days since Mario left, and about 3 weeks since Luigi left to join Mario as what we believe is the Rainbow Bridge. I'm sorry, at what we believe is the Rainbow Bridge. I had a tremendous amount of grief now, but I am working on coping with the loss. I now have two little pine boxes that sit on the bench of my upstairs office. This is the same spot as Mario and Luigi sat when they were here in our home. Grief is awful. Anticipatory grief is hard. But for 14 years, I had the best buddies ever. I know that one day I'll be able to smile and remember little moments of happiness. It's getting a smidge better each day. I can't sit at home, so I'm doing lots of things. Chris and I have our own way of grieving, but we are being kind to each other. I take one day at a time. It is so hard. But I've read many articles on loss. One article reminds me that I need to take good care of myself, as that is what my cats would want me to do. I took amazing care of these two little kittens, gave them a loving home filled with joy, happiness, sometimes sorrow, but we got through it. I am proud to say that I loved with all my heart. I grieve with all my heart right now. It's hard, but I'll be okay. This letter is very long, but if I could share one more thing. If anyone listening to this letter knows about bonded littermates, they can attest to the fact that when told they need to stay together, that this means just that. They need to stay together. I'm so thankful that out of all the cats in the world, I was able to keep Mario and Luigi together for their entire lives. And today, as I look outside my window and into the blue sky, I know that they're together again. And one day, when the time is called for Chris and I to join them, we will all be together. Fondly, Lisa, Mario, and Luigi. I'm sorry, Lisa, Mario, and Luigi, the buddy's mom.
Oh, that's so nice. So much is there. I mean, first, to have a trauma in the death of her first two cats, is one of the most difficult challenges. She did not share a lot of that, but of course, I'm sure it really seared her and her husband and her daughter, or a boyfriend, I think it was at the time, that these poor souls, you know, were involved in.
And it was really hard for her to even consider getting new kittens. And one of the things I think we communicated to her was that's a really hard thing. When you've suffered that kind of a tragic loss, it can be particularly difficult to open your heart and your home again, because you're just so fearful that that kind of thing may happen again.
It's horrific. Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, it does happen. You know, we've had stories with that, but it is something that's much more difficult in some ways to get through initially, of course, because it's a shock and there's a lot of denial, and that's the process. But anticipatory grieving, which she's talking about with the last two cats, you know, with Luigi and Mario, is that the anxiety. You and I know that anxiety about when they are diagnosed, what the treatments are. Maybe there's another diagnosis, then there's a different treatment, and how that can progress, sometimes weeks, sometimes months, sometimes years, but it's always that, when's it going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, we know when we adopt an animal companion that they're probably not going to outlive us, but we also don't have any sense that their time to leave us is anywhere close at hand. And so we can sort of put that aside. But once we get this kind of thing going on where they're declining and we're getting multiple diagnoses of chronic, perhaps terminal problems, it becomes very, very real. And we're now living with that anxiety. And this couple clearly loved these cats and were very attentive to them. We're paying attention to how they were doing. And also we're negotiating with veterinarians in ways that were key to keeping them as well as possible. So at one point, the cat is scheduled for dental work and the veterinarian says, oh yeah, she's seeing there's a problem. And the veterinarian is saying, well, just bring them in for the dental.
Let's do some blood work.
So she knew that that something else was the priority. One of the things I really want to punctuate in this story is the openness about having a mental health challenge, the openness about OCD, because the more in the stories that we share and the stories we share with each other in our relationships, regardless of whether we're talking about grief or what's going on with our animal companions, the more we normalize the fact that many of us live with mental health conditions, the more it is going to break stigma and it's going to allow people to just be themselves, to get the help they need. And it's really beautiful to see the way she describes
how soon
petting Luigi, stroking him would and help Chris. I mean, we know it would. I mean, I see my animal. I think you see your animals this way too. They're all unofficial emotional support animals.
That's right.
And it's just really important to know that there are extraordinary benefits to us in being close to them and touching them and taking care of them. And I really appreciate that Lisa is being so open about that. And I'm sure Chris allows her to do that. And so it's a real gift from both of them.
Well, also, I mean, she described Chris as this wonderful person who was so attached to her and her cats, right?
Yeah.
The other thing I wanted to mention, which is interesting, is how Mario and Luigi were so close.
Yeah.
When Mario died, Luigi, very soon afterwards. Now, you know, I have a personal story with that because many years ago, the two pugs we had were Fred and Lulu. And Lulu had gotten diagnosed with a mast cell tumor. And my vet had said, well, you know, we're not going to be able to remove it. It's probably going to be about 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I asked her, what are we looking at? You know, what are our signs? And she said, a vomiting and seizures. So we went on, we took care of her. It was a very large tumor on her back end. It was very sad. And loved her, took care of her. And about 6 months to the day, she threw up and she had a seizure.
Wow.
And so we knew that then the cancer had spread throughout her body and we did take her to be euthanized. That day, Fred licked her for the entire day.
Uh-huh.
He had never done that before.
Mm-hmm.
They had grown up together. They weren't litter mates, but they grew up together. And 2 months later, he died.
That's so interesting.
And I, when I wrote in the book at Abbey Glen, I said, I know, Lulu, you called him home. You called him. You couldn't be without him. But that happens sometimes with the closeness of animals.
It happened with my Isabel and Abigail.
Isabel
died on June 19th. And I insisted Abigail would be, I told Abigail she had to promise to be with me for another 2 years.
Yes, you did.
And almost exactly 2 months later, in August 23rd, I believe, she had been somewhat sick. We had taken her to the vet a couple days before, and then she had some kind of congestion, and she just went into crisis and stopped breathing. And they weren't exactly sure what happened, but Tim, my husband, thought that she had just decided it was time.
Yeah.
And so she died. I mean, we were actually at the point of, they were trying to help her pass because she looked to be in distress, but they couldn't get the needle. They tried a couple times with a needle, and then I just said, no, just let her go, because we're not doing the thing with the needle in the heart, you know.
No.
And so she passed, but there's got to be something to that, because you hear, I mean, we've both experienced that. You hear that story over and over again, and you know, certainly these two were actually blood siblings.
Yes,
my two weren't. They were related. They were related. Yours, I'm sure, were probably related too. Because,
well, I know. I'll pause right now. I think we rescued Fred, and Lulu came from a breeder, but. Yeah, they were, but they were together for almost 13, 14 years. So, but a lot of times, yes, we know our animals, you know, if there are two or three animals in the home and one dies, the other animals suffer, you know, they can grieve just like people can. They'll go and lay in the bed of the other that has gone. And, you know, it's amazing that also is part of the grieving process, is to us to see we're grieving, but they are grieving also.
Yeah. I heard this. I don't know if I mentioned this on the program, but I heard this from my friend Lee, who works at Dakin. She said that, I'm pretty sure it was Lee who said this. No, it might've been our guest last week who said, and it was so beautiful. She said, when you euthanize, you have to make the decision to end their suffering in order to start yours. It was like
it was last week. Yeah.
It was
Angela. Right.
Angela. Yeah. It's so beautiful. It's because that's what you have to do. You have to take on grief, as Lisa talks about. It's, you know, it's very, very, it's awful what she's going through. One other point I wanted to make, or just emphasize on what she said, is we used this as the title for this episode as well, is that she and her husband grieve differently.
Yes.
And they're also being very kind to each other. So they're respectful of their differences. And it's like, that's how you do it.
That's the model, right?
There's no right way to do it. So two people in a family do it differently. No judgment, just support, just allowance for, and then it just is so much more healthy for everybody.
Oh, healthy and connecting and, you know, supportive.
Yep. So we want to thank Lisa for this story. Thanks so much for sharing with us and with our audience. And also we want to remind you once again to please subscribe on YouTube. If you haven't already, leave a comment, leave a thumbs up, because that just helps others to gain access to the program as a resource. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Take care.